Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve the common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. It does not wish to engage in any controversy and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in, and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. To start the sharing off this morning, Nick, do you want to share?
Thanks, Steve. My name's Nick. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Nick.
Hi. Thank you for asking me to share this morning. Thinking about the topic of experience, strength and hope, I suppose my experience of this disease has been over many, many years. I had a 35-plus drinking career, started in my late teens, which was not unusual in New Zealand. My parents were reasonably heavy drinkers and their parents were reasonably heavy drinkers. I wouldn't say they were alcoholic. We grew up in a very normal family and it just seemed normal to drink. I went through university and started drinking a bit more and then started work. And worked very hard in an environment where there was a lot of alcohol, and drinking was very accepted, and in fact it was very much part of the job. So for 20 years, I drank like I was a career drinker, and it sounds funny, but in many respects, I was rewarded for drinking. I was in a sales function, and clients enjoyed the bonhomie and the back slapping and the good fun, and it continued. And my wife and I were both big drinkers. We drank on a daily basis, and it was fun until it stopped being fun. I'm not quite sure what really happened. I can't really put my finger on the date or the particular instance where I started hiding alcohol. I started hanging out with clients who I knew would drink at lunchtime. I drove my car drunk. I put people's lives in danger. I would make sure that I had a constant supply of alcohol that people didn't know about, and my personality started changing. It started affecting my relationship with my beautiful children, and my wife, and my friends. I increasingly isolated myself. It wasn't my fault. It was their fault. They weren't doing as they were asked, or they weren't being as malleable as I'd like them to be, and my ego and arrogance and just general demeanour completely changed from being quite a good guy who was a happy-go-lucky boozer to quite a mean person. And I started arguing and having unpleasant episodes with my wife until she couldn't bear it and she left. We'd been married for 20 years, and you know, my family was everything to me. And when that collapsed, I was devastated, and I immediately could see that the damage that this addiction was doing to my family and to me, and I sought help, and I came into AA. The very first meeting I went to, I was told to get a big book, which I did, get a sponsor, a home group, and do the steps, which I didn't. So after 6 weeks of white knuckling it, I relapsed, and you know, it was in front of my wife and my kids, and it set our recovery back significantly. And since then, I've done what I've been told, and I have a great sponsor. I have a great home group, and I'm working the steps. It's not been a straight line. I've had one other relapse since then, but fortunately, with the support around me and with the honesty that the program has taught me, it was for a day, and I managed to get back onto the program. And I think one of the best things about the program is that it is a day at a time, and you can reset your day anytime. And I think one of the things that I was ashamed about in those relapses, I didn't want to go back to my group. I didn't want to admit that I had failed. A lot of us are high-functioning drunks, and we don't like failing, and let alone admitting it to other people. But I found a lot of advice and compassion and support amongst the people who were helping me. I've been blessed with a really great sponsor. We're not rushing through the steps. I spent a lot of time on step one because I think his view was, look, if you get step one, that you're actually powerless over alcohol and your life's unmanageable. If you actually allow that into your heart and you genuinely believe it, then the other steps will follow naturally from that. And I think for a lot of us, the denial aspect of this addiction, because your brain tells you after a month or 6 weeks or 2 months or 3 months, probably even after a year, that you're fine and that actually you've got it, you've beaten it, you actually can manage this. But the reality, as we all know, is that you can't. So really embracing step one and knowing that this patient disease, which is, you know, cunning, baffling and powerful, will get you, is absolutely critical, and it's been important in my recovery. It's very, very hard to turn around 35 years of drinking in a short period of time, but you know, I've had so much to lose that I've thrown everything at it. I go to 3 or 4 meetings a week, and I'm lucky I've got the time to do that, and I really enjoy the sharing. I enjoy sharing and doing the dishes and stacking up chairs and being part of the home group afterwards. I get a good sense of camaraderie from that, and my experience is that every single meeting you go to, you get a little bit stronger, and you learn or hear something from somebody who helps in your recovery. I think one of the key things that that being in AA and being in recovery has shown a lot of, well, it's primarily for myself, but it's helped a lot of people around me understand what I've been going through, and also having Al-Anon as an avenue for my wife to participate and to understand a little bit more about the disease has been very, very helpful. The really good news is about a month ago we reunited and we're back living together as a family, and so there was a lot of hope over the last 12 months, and I don't think I could have reconstructed my life and my family's life without the help that I got through AA. And I know there are lots of other programs. I haven't tried any, but I came here first, and you know, from all that I've read in the literature, etc., it's the most effective program in terms of helping you stay sober. So you know, I take a lot of strength out of the people in the program, particularly some of the people who've been sober for 20, 30 years, they still have the same daily routines. They are disciplined. They approach every day with optimism, but with a mixture of reverence as well and care, because it's really important to do your daily routines, talk to your higher power, make your amends, and try to live the AA way in all your affairs. And I think that's one of the things that I've really enjoyed. I've noticed that letting go, not sweating the small stuff, and being a little less controlling, well, a heck of a lot less controlling, has massively improved my life and the people around me. So I'm extremely grateful to AA, and I've certainly benefited enormously from this fellowship. So thank you very much for asking me to share.
Thanks, Nick. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We had members of our fellowship in this morning sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. The next person to share is Mary Alice. Do you want to share?
Kia ora, y'all. My name is Mary Alice and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mary Alice. Hi,
Nick, thank you for that lovely share. That was very, very insightful. And I, too, was a career alcoholic, many, many years of thinking I had everything under control. And I think for me it was a series of events. It wasn't any one particular thing, but the monster under the bed was not going to go away. Gosh, this disease, alcoholism, is not selective. Doesn't matter if you're male or female, black or white, gay or straight, poor or rich. But it takes you to stop and look at yourself and decide that you want to make changes. And I think for me, that's the key. I had to want to make the change. I had to not just admit that I had a drinking problem, because I think anyone can admit they have a drinking problem, but to accept it. Because when you accept it, you, on some level, I don't like to use a negative word, but you surrender, you let go of the fact that you don't have control. And I think that for me, that was one of the biggest life challenges, was accepting the fact that I wasn't running the show. I did not have control over my drinking. As I said, my drinking was the scary monster under the bed, but the alcohol just wasn't under the bed. It was under the sink in the kitchen and, probably out in the garage. You know, and when you start living your life around the need for alcohol, you just, like I said, you just got to stop and say, hey, this isn't what we signed up for. I'm a grown woman. Nothing prepared me for what was going to happen in my life being an alcoholic. Yuck. But yet again, making that choice. And becoming an alcoholic didn't happen in a very short period of time. It happened over a period of years, over a period of life's experiences and events, happy and sad. And yet again, stopping and making that choice not to pick up was so huge, so huge. But I think with Alcoholics Anonymous, one of the breakthroughs that I had early on was when I was going to meetings and I just could not get myself to admit that I was an alcoholic. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't say it. And then one Sunday night at a women's group meeting, I actually said it. And when I actually said it, it's like the scary monster came out from underneath the bed. And I could actually look at it. I went, oh my gosh, there is hope. You know, I just have to find the courage from within myself. So define courage is one of the words in the Serenity Prayer. And courage is about being brave, but not necessarily being fearless, because you can still be afraid, because change can be scary. When you make a life change, such as to, you know, follow the program of AA and the process you will go through. It's about evolution. It does not happen overnight. You know, I've been going to AA for probably about 3.5 years and just sober now for just over 18 and a half months. And I can actually wake up in the morning now and go, yay, it's a beautiful day. But I know that 18 months ago, on that morning when I woke up and decided I was going to make a life change, it wasn't yay, it's a good day. It was a day that haunt me forever, because it was at that point that I decided, yes, I'm going to embrace this. I'm going to rock up, and I'm going to keep going back until I get this, which is exactly what I did. I think the strength came from, to continue on with the program, came from the ability to let go of the anger and the shame and the resentment, and accept the fact that I'm a human being and I've made mistakes. And I will make mistakes because I am a human being. But the fact that I can't undo what I've already done. I can't predict what's going to happen in the future. So an exercise is about living in the moment and embracing life. You know, I still have to pay the bills. I still have to take the rubbish bins down to the end of the drive. You know, I still have to, you know, drive on the road with a bunch of other crazy people, you know. But I can look at it differently now and say, it's okay. It's all right if I get angry. It's all right if things don't always work out the way that I want them. But I don't have to pick up. And I can embrace life on life's terms. Sounds a little cliche-ish, kind of like one day at a time, but it is life on life's terms. And if you can actually get into that space, it can be really, really rewarding. And going into to AA and attending them, having the opportunity to attend the meetings and listen to other people share, it's not about the actual differences. It's about the similarities. I can hear parts of my story from anyone that shares. And the fact that I can go into those rooms and be part of a meeting such as the one here online today, on air today, you know, I hope I can give y'all some strength to, you know, continue with the program, keep making change, believing in yourselves, opening your heart, and accepting the fact that there's something bigger than us out there on the planet. And I'm ready to continue to experience it on a daily basis and embrace being in the moment and living life. Life wasn't given to me to live in a bottle. Life was given to me to live with an open heart and an open mind and give back to the people that have given to me to give me the strength for recovery. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary Alice. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. The next person to share is Casey. Do you want to share?
Thank you, Nick, and thank you, Mary Alice, for your share. I really related to everything that you shared in this morning's meeting. And my name is Casey, and I'm an alcoholic. I started drinking when I was 13, when I found out some terrible news that my father was not my real father, and I basically felt like I didn't belong in the family. And being an eldest child at the age of 13, it had to be kept a secret because none of the family knew. So when I picked up alcohol, it took all those uncomfortable feelings away from me quite quickly, and I was a blackout drunk, still a teenager. And it got me into a bit of trouble growing up, and I got my way out of it. I still continued drinking, and when I started working, I stopped drinking like I was drinking from the age of 13 to 18. And when I did start working, I did feel like I had a purpose and I felt like I belonged. But it didn't last for long. You know, I started to pick workplaces where it was acceptable to drink. It just continued on from there. And, you know, I didn't have much respect for workplaces. My drinking was more important. And I found that I started to lose friends at work and would decide to move to another job. And I did that quite frequently. It took another level when I went to Sydney, Australia, and I was there for 10 years and I was acting and behaving in the same manner and couldn't understand why people didn't want to hang out with me, because there was always a drama when I went out drinking with them. I'd either lose their bags or lose them or something would happen. I didn't think I had a problem. And it wasn't until I came back to New Zealand and I thought I could give up drinking on my own, which I couldn't. I thought I could control it, and I couldn't. And things just got worse and worse and worse, and I got more and more reliant on it. And I too drove drunk as well. It wasn't till I realised on the 4th of January 2018 that I was heading down a deep, dark path, and I was finding that when I was drinking, I was going to that dark place, and it was always alone in my home, and I needed help. So I reached out to my father, the one that adopted me, and I hadn't really been in touch with him for a while because I kind of blamed him for the way my life had turned out, which wasn't the case. And he came over to my house. I'd had a 2-day bender, and you know, he's never said to me that I had a problem. He knew that my drinking was a problem, but would kind of subtly say things, you know, if you're a sweetheart, if you just give up drinking, your life will just be so much better. Oh, yes, Dad, I'll try. I could only last 2 days. So this time when he picked me up, I think he saw that something was different, that I really wanted help and I didn't know where to go. So my father started researching AA and suggesting to me, you know, why don't you look at going to AA and get some help. And I said, oh, I could take a pill and this stops you from drinking and the problem's solved, Dad. And my father said softly and sweetly, do you think you may stop taking the pill and start drinking again? And my shoulders went down and my head went down and I thought, oh, I probably will, Dad. He said, well, maybe, you know, just go to AA. So I went home, and it was 3 days until I went to AA because I was scared. There's a lot of meetings in Auckland, and there was one on Sunday where I felt comfortable. It was a women's meeting. I can go to that one. I can manage this. I can do it. And when the days started ticking down, I felt my head was going crazier and crazier, and I didn't know what was going on. And when the time actually came half an hour prior to going to the meeting, I had my neighbour had brought some washing in off the line and left a bag outside my house. And I went to take it over, and I looked at him, and I just bursted into tears. And I'd never spoken to him. I've lived there for 3 years, never spoken to him, bursted into tears, and I said to him, I think I've got a problem. I think I'm an alcoholic, and I'm going to a meeting soon. But I was just hysterical. I was just unable to drive. He said, look, jump in the car. I will drive you there. You give me the address. I will wait outside for you. I have your little dog in the car, and off I went, and I tiptoed up the stairs to AA, and I got there early, which surprisingly, I never got to anything early. I was always late, and you know, when I was late, I made an entrance, but not this time. I peeked my head round the corner, and there was a lovely girl sitting there, and I thought I was in the wrong place because she looked really happy. And and I walked in and with this meek little voice said, "Is this AA?" She said, "Yes, come in." And I just bursted into tears. And then the room filled with about 30, 40 women. And a lovely lady gave me an AA book. And I cried the whole way through. And they were reading some literature, and it had to be passed around. Now, I've never read out loud to anyone before, so it did come to me, and I thought I could skip out of it because I was crying, and the lady next to me said, "No, read it." So I sobbed and read the whole thing through, and as soon as it came to alcoholic, I really struggled to say that word. That was just the place I was at. And I finally got it out, and I listened to all the stories in the room from the woman, and I related to every single share. And that started my journey. I was so terrified of drinking. I would go to work, and the moments that I would drink, I would replace it with a meeting. So that's all I did, was work, meetings. I was still obsessed with alcohol. But I found that every time I went to a meeting, it took away the thought of drinking. Even though sometimes driving to meetings, I'd drive past someone happily with a box of beers and I'd burst into tears before I got to the meeting. And then I'd get to the meeting and my head would clear, and I could go to sleep. But I had all these emotions that I'd never felt for a very, very, very long time. And I got myself a lovely sponsor, and who gave me the daily reflections that I read each day. And I've come on this magnificent journey. I've done things that I haven't done since I was 13. And I jumped off the building in Sky City, and I did naked sketching. I know that sounds a bit strange, but I like to do kind of out there things. You know, they have models, and did some sketching, and I spent time with my niece, who I've never spent time with. I take my dog out for walks down the beach, and I just have this new life that's been given to me, and I just feel really blessed and really lucky to be a part of AA, because it's really helped me. I'm forever grateful. Thank you.
Thanks, Casey. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We've had members of our fellowship in this morning, and they've been sharing their experience, strength and hope about our journey of recovery from alcoholism. It's been a great meeting this morning, and I hope you've identified with our speakers. And if you have, and you would like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meetings lists is a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area, and right throughout the whole country as well. Here in Auckland, we have about 140 meetings a week, so there's quite a few to choose from. The other thing you can do is phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. We'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.